Welcome to Turn a Page, the official comic book club for Nerd Initiative. Each week, the NI Bullpen will be covering the world of comics, talking to creators, deep diving into some fantastic stories, and much more. Now let's hand it over to the team and turn a page.
Welcome to a very special edition of Turn a Page Nerd Initiative's Comic Book Club. I am your host. You know me as the host of the ODPH podcast. My name is Ken M. And I'm also Nerd Initiative's Comics Editor-in-Chief. To my right, your left at home, he does his own intro because it's in his contract.
Yeah, I'm an actual live and direct in a recently refurbished but still the same folding chair in the ODPH studio. My name is Off the Cuff Tom, Nerd Initiative's pop culture connoisseur. Ken, Drew, always a pleasure.
And we have a guest online that has a fantastic comic out that is going to be hitting the shelves on April 24th in trade paperback form. But if you haven't picked this up and you are a superhero fan, what are you doing? Because this has so many elements going on. If you love vintage storytelling, you like a little modern twist to it. It has so many characters involved. I can't wait to deep dive into it. In fact, if you can even see behind me, because I'm actually going to lean, we have this artist's picture hanging up on the wall of his X-Men stuff. But we're not here to talk X-Men. We are here to talk about the savage strength of Starstorm. Please welcome to the show the writer and artist and creator of said book, the one and only Drew Craig. Drew, what is going on?
How you doing, guys? What's going on? How's everybody going?
Oh, very good. This book has been on my radar. I've been able to review it ever since issue number one. It is something right up my wheelhouse as a old school superhero fan. This has so many elements going on. First and foremost, how did the whole idea of Starstorm and his universe come to be?
Well, it's like the basic idea was that it was like an homage to like the old Image books, like Todd McFarlane, like Spawn and Wildcats and Youngblood and all that stuff, like yes. And Savage Dragon. It was basically like the similar sort of idea that those guys started with. Like there were characters that those guys grew up drawing, and they were characters they created as kids. And Starstorm's the same sort of thing. It's just a character I created when I was a little kid. And I just like throughout the years of like trying to create stories and develop characters, he always stuck around. And originally started out as me. It was my superhero. It was that I had a Starstorm cosplay when I was a little kid. And then,
oh, nice.
Yeah. That's originally how it came about. And I just kept redrawing them and kept recreating the character through as the years went on. And that's basically like how it started. Was just I said, okay, well, I'm going to do a similar sort of thing as like those guys did back in the day, you know? So, and then I just threw everything, like all my pop culture, smorgasbord that's jumping around in my head. And it just all came out as Starstorm. So it's just like my take on that sort of stuff, you know? So yeah, that's the original, how it originated. So yeah.
All right. So I'm just going to jump right off on here and go, if you used to dress up as your character, as you were developing him, how was the reaction from people? I mean, were like, oh, that's cool. Or were they like, hey, tell me about this guy. Who the heck is he?
Yeah, well, I mean, when I dressed up as him when I was like a little kid, like running around the house, I had the story basically is that when I was probably, I don't know, like maybe 8 years old, my parents took us to Hampton Beach, me and my brother. And my dad played like a skeet ball game and he won like a prize. And I got like a T-shirt, and on the T-shirt, it said Starstorm. And it had like sort of like old 80s graphics, like little cubes and little pixelated stars and laser blasts, you know, look like Zaxxon or like one of those old or Galaga or something like that, you know. So
yeah.
So I just put that shirt on and I had like little, you know, like little wristbands, and there were my power bands, you know, they were sort of like, it was like an amalgamation of like my own thing and like Captain Marvel or something like that, you know? So, so that's basically, you know, I didn't go to conventions and cosplay him out at conventions. That's maybe down the line, we'll see what happens, you know, but
You absolutely should.
Yeah, I
self promotion tax write off.
I might if the costume looks good, then you know, if there's any cosplayers out there listening and they want to make me a Starstorm costume, or if they want to dress up themselves, that would be awesome, you know, for sure.
We do know a few at Nerd Initiative, so I mean, there is a possibility. We'll just put it out
there.
And I got a helmet guy. So
yeah, I was gonna say we know a helmet, guy that does that for cosplays.
Well, if I can get the helmet done, that's step one. I like down the road, I would like to develop maybe like a little articulated toy. So that's like on the radar or something. I collect toys, so
I got that.
So
guy
I'd like
too.
To. Yeah,
I have that guy too.
Yeah, you got that guy too. All right, let me know.
We have some hookups over here that we could definitely make that happen. And especially with a character like this too. I mean, if anybody's not familiar with the book, what is the story of Starstorm?
Well, I mean, basically it starts out pretty much it's sort of like the generic high school kid. He's like new in town and it's sort of like I was always a fan of the Karate Kid, like the new kid in town. And, you know, he's got to ward off the bullies and that sort of thing. You know, it's a basic story, you know, and he meets his companions, and then, you know, it's like that hero's journey of finding your companions and finding your place in the world. But then it branches out. I'm pretty influenced, like I'm working on the second story arc now, and it's sort of like it's going to branch out into it. Basically, I just did, it's like an homage to Stan and Jack as well. So it's just all the heroes. Like, I've always created heroes, that's my forte. So heroes and villains, I just love sitting there and just designing new characters all the time. So it's like it just kind of organically evolved from that like simple story of like this kid, he gets this ultimate weapon and then like what's his backstory, and like that sort of, you know, it's the cliche of the kid has amnesia and he slowly has to unveil that, you know, like the peel that onion and of what's the weapon about, what's he about, where's he from, where what's why does he have these powers, why are people around him developing these powers, and then slowly revealing that as the story goes on, and then branching out and just like creating this whole universe, expanding this whole universe that I've created, you know? So, so that's basically the idea from it. It's an homage to a lot of things. So it's like, I did my little sort of homage to zombie movies, and then there's an homage to Crisis on Infinite Earths, and there's, you know, homage to punk rock and all the stuff I'm into. Basically, it's just everything I love kind of just thrown out there onto the page, you know? So that's the idea of it, really, you know?
Yeah,
it's very true. Yeah. I mean, it's evident that you have just thrown everything. You've Jackson Pollock this book in a good way, you know, putting everything of pop culture and the stuff you love in there. On top of it, you know, we definitely can tell that there's a huge nod to Jack King Kirby. And how many characters he's created. Do you know off the top of your head how many characters that you had created for this run alone? Do you have a number? Because I lost count.
I don't know. I should count. It would take me a while to count them, though. I mean, I have so many characters I have a lot of ideas for a lot of characters. I mean, it's just the tip of the iceberg right now. I have more to go. So, and there's also like a pantheon of gods that have gods and, you know, demons and, you know, different, you know, it's the cliched multiverse, but it's my multiverse, you know? So it's my own twist on it, you know? So
now you have this great space where there's a lot of great heads in the background. One cameo is very evident, you know, I mean, enough said about that. Is there anybody else that was in there that I may have recognized? Because there were some very space-like characters and so on and so forth. But then there were also some very human characters. Was there certain people that you wanted to put in?
Yeah, I think Will Eisner's in there. Frank Miller's in there. Jack Kirby's in there. Stan Lee's in there. My brother's in there. I think he's in the seam though, so he gets kind of blocked out a little bit. Like,
that's all right. It's your brother. It's okay.
Well,
he does. Exactly. I'm like, whatever.
Well, I was going to say, he does get referenced in, I believe it's issue 3, when Jen, Eli, and Grant are flying through the space. They're like, hey, is that Wes Craig?
Yeah, so,
I mean,
exactly.
I mean, that's just a little cool moment in there. But yeah, I mean, that whole scene too. I mean, just the cameos and characters you have in there. And like, for being 6 issues in, like, it really feels like a larger than life universe. Has there been a character that stuck out to you that has been your favorite thus far to work with?
Well, I love I like writing Eli because he's the comic relief, you know, and a lot of people seem to enjoy him. So, I mean, I'm a bit of a, you know, I like to fancy myself, you know, a bit of a comedian, I suppose, but not a good one. But I mean, I like a good joke, you know, and just I like things that are kind of cheesy little jokes and little nods to the audience and, you know, breaking the fourth wall and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, it's so Eli's fun, you know, he's the hardest guy to draw. I can never seem to draw him where I'm like satisfied with the way he looks, but I definitely enjoy writing that character and just finding little jokes here and there, you know? So, but I mean, I love them all. They're all like, you know, they're all like my children. I love them all for like different reasons, you know? So, I really enjoy drawing Starstorm the most. He's the most fun to draw. He's the most interesting looking, I find. But Eli's the most interesting to write. So yeah, but, I mean, there's some, I like the Tiger Clan too. There, when I was designing them, I thought they came out very cool looking. They're going to be in the next story arc as well. But I'm creating now Lords of Order and Chaos. Those are looking really good. So, I just did a 2-page spread. You can see it, like a brief, like the outline on my Instagram, but, mm-hmm. It's turning out cool. They're looking good. So I'm anxious to explore that whole area of the Starstorm universe of like where it's going to go. It's going to really branch out in this next story arc. I mean, the first six are just the setup, you know? So,
I was going to say, that's just impressive too. Cause like I say, if any of our listeners or viewers haven't read the book yet, like it is literally crammed with so many characters. Like, I think that's one of the most impressive things I've seen is every issue we're introduced to somebody new, it feels like, and just where the story goes. It's just like, there's so many characters to kind of invest in and see how the stories play out. Meanwhile, we have Grant, who's still trying to figure out where he's going. And with Eli, too, to give him a little comic relief. And Jen, who keeps him all centered and grounded. Like, the trifecta there is trying to, you know, waver the water, so to speak. It's just very cool to see, like, in this day and age, too, with superheroes. Like, there's just so many classic themes involved. Like, was that the original intent? Mm-hmm. Going in with this, especially going into where we last saw Grant, who I guess I could say maybe a little bit of a spoiler now since issue six has been out, that he's unfortunately sacrificed himself for the greater good, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's it's an homage to all that stuff. You know what I mean? So it's, I've drawn from everywhere, you know, basically. I mean, originally I had, probably about six or seven different story ideas I was working on. There was like a samurai idea I had. I had, my Ronin, I had like sort of like a punk rock group of superheroes. I had a bunch, but then I was spreading myself too thin at one point. So I said, I'm just going to merge them all into one universe because that way I can get to all these stories. So basically that's what's happening is that I'm able to jump to these, you know, these characters in the story while I'm telling the Starstorm story, you know, so say that three times fast, so that's what it is that I have these ideas for other stories and they all work together. So I don't know. It seemed to just work out that way. So, I mean, I had to tweak little things here and there, but it just seems to be that they're all coming together and they all seem to work in that one universe, you know? So the themes I'm playing with are just, you know, those basic themes of like, who do you want to be in this life? And like, you know, who's Grant? And is he like, you know, what is he going to do with this power? You know, like he doesn't even know yet, you know, and finding himself and, you know, as he goes on, you know, like discovering what he's about and, you know, what he wants to use the power for, you know, so, and exploring why this weapon is made. Why it was made, why it attached itself to him. There's all a reasoning behind. Grant didn't just get the weapon. I don't want to spoil too much, but there's a reason why Grant has the weapon and there's a reason why these people are after the weapon, these characters, and why it's so sought after. I mean, there's a big backstory that I've developed before. That's where I'm going to be heading is the story of what the weapon's about, why it was created and who created it and what it's for, what it's meant for. So yeah, so that's that.
So how much pressure, you know, creating this whole world is it for you to be also the writer and the artist? Does one lend itself to the other or does it put more pressure the other way?
Well, I think it's for me, it's easier because I can see it in my head, you know? So, I mean, I know what the story is and it's like, if I conveyed it to somebody else, they might not hit it exactly on the head, the nail on the head, the way I want it to be hit. You know what I mean? Even though sometimes I'll draw stuff out and I'm like, this is not what I saw in my head at all. Yeah. I have to get it done. So, you know, it's not turning out the way I like it to, but I have a bit of I like things, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, but you got to let that go to just get it done sometimes. Right. But Yeah, because I mean, originally when I was working on it, I was redrawing pages like crazy. I redrew like a ton of pages. So, and it took me forever. So at one point, my brother was like telling me, he's like, you got to stop redrawing pages. Just get it done, you know? So, but yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's that. So I lost my train of thought there for a second, but.
That's okay. We'll bring it back. It's cool.
Yeah.
So your style that I've noticed in here, yes, we obviously can tell you have a very classic influence, but also modernly, I personally saw in it very much like an old Liquid Television Aeon Flux kind of influence, especially with the female characters. Were you going with that? Was that something that had influenced you in the past? Or is that just me?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Aeon Flux was definitely, I mean, it's in the back of my head. I always liked that sort of design of characters, you know, like that sort of anime influence sort of, yeah. Like, I mean, I guess like Art Adams was a big influence when I was like, he's one of my favorites artists coming up. I mean, I'm sure with many artists that talk to today, he's a huge influence. John Byrne and George Perez were big. I don't draw like them, but I mean, I think I have my own sort of style. I don't
really very much.
Like, oh yeah, 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 absolutely.
We're not saying that you're copycat, and you have a great stuff. So
yeah, exactly. Well, that's it. It's like just I remember John Romita Jr. listening to him talk about his art, and he says I draw the way I draw. Like, you know, I don't really draw any specific way. I just draw the way I draw. You know, and that's the way I feel about myself as well. Is that I just kind of draw the way I draw. You know, I don't have like, it's nothing like that specific in mind. I'll have like, the only thing I'll have is like influences, like and they'll be sort of in the subconscious, and I'll draw something like a page layout, and I'll have say like a pose, and that's just something that was in the back of my mind from, like, say Aeon Flux, you know, like I saw a cool, like maybe that blinking eye with the, you know, the fly that lands trap on the
eye.
So that might, you know, I'll see something like that'll be in the back of my head. I'm not exactly sure where, and I'll draw something similar. Then after, I'll go, oh, that's where that panel idea came from, was Aeon Flux, or, you know, whatever the millions of anime that I've, you know, watched, or thousands, I should say. But I mean, you know, like all that sort of stuff, you know, it's all, there's no specific influence, but there it's just, you know, all that stuff jumping around in my head that's just spilled out onto the page, you know? So, I mean, I'm trying to think what my biggest influence for creating stuff, but I think John Romita Jr. is probably my biggest, and Kirby, obviously. Yeah. Kirby's probably, you know, like that idea of just, you know, the Kirby crackle, and obviously that.
You know, you do one heck of a crackle, I will say. I always respect a good crackle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was like literally one of the first things that jumped out to me when I read the book, and I was like, wow. Because, I mean, to bring that in there, and that's such a classic look, too, for a superhero book, and especially like you pulled it off flawlessly, and I'm sitting there going like, holy smokes. And that got me excited as a fan, because, I mean, like, I go back and I read a lot of the old 70s stuff, and, you know, a lot of even, you know, further ahead, you know, with Kirby and like you touched on with John Byrne, and just like the, you know, the classic X-Men stuff now, too, to just kind of bring those elements into the modern age. I mean, it's really makes this book stand out. And especially, too, like I say, with all the influences you have going on, there's been so much done in these six issues. What can we really kind of have an idea for when issue 7 is coming out?
Yes.
Well, right now I got to see, because I'm financing them out of my pockets to have them colored and lettered. Okay. So I got to see how the sales for the trade go. Then I can get some money back and start reproducing them. I'm drawing them and writing them anyway. So I'm thinking perhaps what I'm working on now is I had an idea for a Starstorm annual, which would bridge the gap from the first story arc to the second story arc. So you wouldn't need it to continue reading 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, but it would sort of just bridge the two story arcs together. So I'm thinking about doing that through Kickstarter, and then raising some money through that, and then getting the next six done.
We do love our Kickstarter comics.
Yeah,
no, I mean?
We do love our Kickstarter comics.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I have a couple of friends. Oh, so that. Sorry, yeah, I have a friend of mine in town, Andy Bellanger. He does Kickstarter comics, little comics, and he does pretty well. So I was talking to him about doing it. I don't know how to go about doing it yet, so I got to figure that out. But yeah, that's the idea right now. What I'm running with.
No, I mean, that absolutely makes sense, too, because especially with Kickstarter blowing up, too, for comics anyway, like it's become such a normal thing to do. And especially for creator-owned, too, because then you get a chance to really do your vision how you want to do it. And I mean, obviously, you know, being an Image, you're allowed to do, you know, more or less anything you really want to do, because they've been, you know, they're obviously known for being creator owned and being very creator flexible. So to see it now kind of transition, like we're seeing a lot more of that pop up. Do you think this is going to be like the wave of comics in the future? Going Kickstarter?
Definitely could. Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely. It's going to be a thing for sure. I think more and more it's just a good way to finance your creations, you know? So I think it's very, how do I put it? It's there's a lot of work involved, I think, from what I'm gathering. I don't know the ins and outs of it, like I said, but I think it's you really have to be like all hands on. But I mean, that's how it is. I mean, when you're creating these things, you got to be, you know, completely involved with them, you know. So it's definitely, I think a lot of creators are going to be going that route. You know, it's a good way to put some money in your pocket and get your things made. So, I mean, that's what we're all trying to do, you know, so just get our stuff out there, you know, to the public. So,
oh yeah.
And that's it. So I definitely think there's a good space for it. Yeah.
Now, with this being an original character, one thing I'm trying to figure out exactly, you know, you've developed him, he's been in the back of your mind since you were, you know, just a wee little guy. What exactly are Starstorm's powers without any spoilers? Because I'm like getting Green Lantern / nanotech / Hammer Space, like Batmite vibes, you know, what's he do? I got the sword. Yeah. That's one thing. Okay. He's got a sword and he's powered up his friends. What else?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, basically it's sort of like the Matrix. It's, I don't want to reveal too much, but it's like he can basically, his imagination is the limit, you know? Mm. So So
can he do Kung Fu?
Can he do Kung Fu?
If it's the Matrix, can he do Kung Fu?
We haven't gotten there yet. So.
now we need a red pill and a blue pill.
If I can draw Kung Fu, he can do Kung Fu. But that's the problem, is I don't know if I can draw Kung Fu. So can he do Kung Fu? No, no. I wouldn't say he can do Kung Fu. He can scrap though. He's a scrapper, so he knows how to throw 1-2. No Kung Fu, just the 1-2 maybe. But his powers will be more revealed as the story goes on. But there is definitely like that Green Lantern sort of like energy burst. He has like that cosmic energy sort of power. And it'll be unveiled, like the whole sort of detail of the Starstorm weapon and the powers that it has, it's going to be unveiled in the next story arc, basically. So I don't want to reveal too much. The sword is there's a reason behind the sword, and that'll be revealed as well. So it's there's a big bad coming up in the next story arc, and anyways, we'll just leave it at that. Basically, I don't want to reveal too much. You know?
Now Starstorm specifically is just a lazy human's way of saying the name of the weapon. What is the proper pronunciation of the Starstorm? You know,
the like, Starstorm,
the Starstorm. There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
The Starstorm, yeah. So yeah, there's a reason for that name as well. So yeah, so that's I don't want to tell too much because I want people to pick up the next story arc. But it's the Starstorm is part of the Starstorm weapon. It's the reason for the Starstorm weapon is the Starstorm, okay. And I don't want to reveal what the Starstorm is, but it's. I don't want to tell.
No,
it's
that's part,
it's like a big part of the story. Yeah. So yeah.
But that's why everybody should go pick up the trade paperback when it drops on April 24th, and then they can start putting their own clues together about how it's going.
Yeah. I haven't dropped too many hints about it. You're gonna have to wait and see.
No, that's completely fair.
I can't tell too much because it's like I'll be revealing basically like the next story arc, like what's happening, and I want people to buy them. So
we want people to buy them for you.
Oh, absolutely. No, there's no way if you're a superhero fan that you don't pick up this book and immediately like get some ideas and imagination and get excited about it, because like I say, it has so many different elements going on with it too. Like for me as a fan, I love reading it because it's just so, you know, you look in comparison to everything going on with other superhero books and it really stands out. And then to see, Oh no, absolutely. Like that's the thing that gravitates toward me. Because even like when I'm sitting there trying to piece together, like, okay, why is the meteor coming into Kirby High School? You know, like I think like there's got to be a deeper meaning for that. And then just immediately to see where everything goes from there. Like, is there actually, I'll kind of segue to that. Is there more of a deeper meaning with the meteor?
Yeah. Well,
without revealing anything,
Yeah. The system was basically traveling around and it's looking for Grant. It was looking for Grant. We'll say that. I'll leave it at that. The Starstorm was looking for Grant basically. And it's been traveling around and accumulating space particles and it turns into a meteor basically. So that I'll just leave it at that. So that's basically the
very the power meaning ring kind of vibe. It sounds like.
Yeah. Very power. Yeah. Power very Green Lantern. Yeah. Very much in the vein of a Green Lantern type of idea like that ultimate weapon. And, you know, so that's something along those lines. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And Grant, yeah, it's hard to know what to say and what not, you know, because I don't want to reveal too much. There's
Wait till we stop recording and spill it all. It's quite all right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll give the indication when the red light's off. So yeah, don't worry about that.
Okay. All right. All right. I'll let you guys know when we're off.
Because you've thrown so much at the panel, there's, you know, obviously nods to a bunch of different pop culture references and your personal love for superheroes. Who would you like to see Starstorm possibly cross over with in the future when this becomes a powerhouse on the shelf?
I mean, really like those Image characters obviously would be like, I mean, my brother's character Kaya, actually I was thinking about talking to him about doing like a crossover with Kaya.
Ooh, that'd be good. Yeah, that'd be real good.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that in the annual, actually. I got to speak to him about that. So anyway, we'll see about that. You know, Spawn, Dragon, Savage Dragon. Batman would be a dream come true. You know, Spider-Man, X-Men, Superman, you know, I mean, any of those characters would be a dream come true, you know, but I mean, really I'd go for the Image, the original Image guys, you know, would be, that would be the,
I got one. Yeah. Even better. Like let's take our pop culture knowledge and like go even better and just like do Hot Shots Part Deux where Charlie Sheen is doing the Armageddon now. And we'll just have like Green Lantern go by and go, I loved you. And
blah, blah, blah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Green Lantern was not in mind when I was creating Starstorm, though, really. I mean, a little bit. He's there, I guess, a little bit. But it wasn't in, like, the forefront of my mind. But, he's definitely similar to Green Lantern, though, for sure. No, yeah, I'm not.
Or even better, get the dude, the buddy. Why can't I remember the buddy right now? The guy who became the big guy.
What, Kilowog?
Well, no. I was going to say that or like Beta Ray Bill go by. He's got Warhammer and, you know, you've got.
Oh, with Eli. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool. That would be awesome.
Just to go, I love you and Ragnarok.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for sure. That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the one thing about this. And I could definitely see that going into the original seven of Image. Like, I could definitely see a Starstorm and Wildcats play out. Like, I could definitely see that. And I think that would be some real fun. Like, so what was your favorite out of the original seven of Image? What was your favorite comic?
I mean, I loved Spawn. I mean, I was all about Todd McFarlane when I was around that age, you know? So, I mean, like I collected all his Spider-Man, you know, being from Canada and him being Canadian was a big thing for us, you know? So it was like, you know, him, but I mean, you know, they're all, it's like, I loved it all. I loved Wildcats. So, I mean, Jim Lee's art was just, it's like, I was just looking at a couple, like maybe a month ago, it's just awesome, you know, it's just beautiful, beautiful stuff and just awesome character designs. And, you know, so, I mean, I liked it all, you know, I liked Youngblood too. I liked all of it, you know? So, I mean, I liked, Savage Dragon was cool. I mean, they were just interesting characters and it was just cool because they were new and they were like, you could jump right on board at that time. And, you know, you're with those characters and, you know, from there on, you know, it wasn't like you had to know about any backstory. It was like fresh to go, you know, for my generation. So, I loved all that stuff, man. I mean, I love Spawn. It's a great character, you know? So, but Wildcats too. Yeah. I love it all.
Yeah. Same.
It's hard to pick, you know?
Oh, I know. That's one thing that especially like, I remember like that's when I was really getting into comics is when all that was happening. Like you talk about the X-Men re-up with Claremont and Lee, and then everybody leaves to go to Image. And then you're like, what is going on here? And then all these books are coming out, and it's like you feel that whole new wave of a universe. And to try to talk to fans now, it's like unless you grew up in that time, you don't realize how impactful that is. And then we're now seeing that.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was so exciting. It was like, I see you guys are in a wrestling. It was like when WCW and WWE were going to war, right? It was like a similar sort of thing, right?
Yes.
No.
No, see, Tom is not the wrestling guy. I definitely am. And Rich, our guy in the chair, is 1 million percent. I will talk wrestling all day.
I can talk musicals.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but
musical. I like Scrooged. Scrooge and Oliver Twist, the two musicals. Those are the only ones I can talk about.
Works for me.
Yeah. No, but that's a great analogy about WCW and WWE. I mean, but that's the whole thing. Yeah. Like when you have this whole new, you know, push through, and then you're starting to see just like how impactful that is. And then now that's leading to more influences now that we're seeing just this resurgence in superhero comics too. Like I said, what you're doing in the massive verse and, you know,
all the artist owned characters. I mean, that the big push that's going out there is redefining the industry.
Yeah.
And I mean, so much, I mean, the art is so great now too. I mean, like, Nick Dragotta did a variant, and I'm thinking about using it for the annual for Starstorm. And it's, like he's doing Ghost Cage, and he's working on something now as well. But I did, he's doing East of West, and like his art is amazing, you know? And I mean, just like Matteo Scalera and all these guys, just sort of like the artwork is next level now. It's so, it's like, I feel kind of like, I'm like, I look at those guys' stuff and I'm like, oh man, I got to work a lot harder. It's just like, these guys are killing it over here, you know, making me feel bad about myself. They're so good. But comic books is really, I mean, Image Comics is really, got some amazing titles on the shelf right now, you know, for sure. So that's what I read. I mean, I read mostly Image these days. I don't read a lot of Marvel and DC. I've been reading, I was reading Mark Waid's run with Dan Moore on World's
Batman
Finest.
Superman.
And
that's
great. And that's awesome. I mean, Dan Moore's an amazing artist, you know, he's like meant to draw those characters, you know? So, But he's great. Yeah, I can't really see it that well, but
I got the little Bat Family print there. He signed for us at New York this year.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah. Okay, I can tell now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Super cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's great. He's probably like one of the best. He's definitely one of the best going right now, for sure. For sure.
I love his Power Rangers, but that's just me. But that's a personal.
Oh yeah. No, his Power Rangers. Yeah. No, he's good at editing anything. Really, he's an amazing artist. He's awesome.
Let's put him on My Little Pony. See what he can do.
That would be something. I mean, he could do definitely a lot of stuff there. And I mean,
I'd love to do Starstorm. Let's put him on Starstorm.
Hell yeah.
Let's put it out in the universe. Dan, hello.
Oh my God. Yeah. Just do a couple of variant cover here or there. Or, you know, just imagine.
He's very responsive online. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. But I mean, that's the whole thing. When everybody picks up this book, they're definitely want to see more of it. And like when you get the trade paperback too, like that puts the whole story together and really gives you just like an invite into this world. And there's so many things that you can definitely get, you know, no matter what you're a fan of. Like I say, issue number two is about a little bit about the horror aspect with the zombies and Nikki Necro there. And, you know, just what's going on with the Outcast there and just like how that all plays out. And then we start going into, like you touched upon, the Crisis on Infinite Earths. Like there's like the homage, like there is just so much in this book. That literally when you give it to a fan, like there's no way they can't just go like, there's nothing in this for me. Like there is literally something in there for everybody.
It's a prime example of our send off, what we do at the end. You know, when you find something, hand it off. There is something in this book for everyone. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Thanks. So, that's the idea.
but you nailed it perfectly too, especially for this being, you know, 100% on you, you know, like writing, drawing and, you know, and just the other elements involved too. Like I say, to just have that kind of labor of love, like it pours out and it connects with fans easy. Like this is something that is a monster win. And I'm really hoping this gets a big push on New Comic Book Day on April 24th, at least. And I hope people go and go get the back issues too, because literally there's just so much in this for everybody too. And especially in this day and age of superheroes, like we're seeing this big resurgence, especially now with animated shows like Invincible, X-Men 97. Right. I mean, you know, if you had to do a Starstorm live action or animated, who could you see playing Starstorm?
Well, I was watching Stranger Things and Steve I was like thinking Steve would play kind of Starstorm, and then I was thinking Argyle would play Eli. And Dana wasn't, I'm not quite sure. I haven't narrowed that down, but that I was thinking those characters. I mean, I loved Eddie Munson too, so he was my favorite character, obviously, from that season. So I was thinking, okay, maybe he could play Starstorm, but they're like, I don't know. Yeah, Steve's just, he has that hair. You know what I mean? So I was thinking like the hair and I like him as a character. So I was thinking him and those are the two I thought about, but Jen, I'm not quite sure. Maybe one of the girls from Stranger Things, you know, cause that's a great cast. So, you know, so that I was thinking maybe something along those lines. I'm not sure about what his name is in real life, but
I know you. I know what you're talking about. I'm just blanking on his name too.
Stranger Things.
No, it's not.
He's probably like 40 years old, but he plays a great teenager though.
It's crazy. He does, but it's gonna be a shame too. That show's coming to an end. Like it's just talking about stuff that's impactful and just, you know, like that's gonna be something much like Image Comics has influenced and everybody, you know, the original Seven influenced and you and more creators now that are gonna influence a whole new wave of creators. It's a whole new generation. Like it's, you know, how does that kind of feel to just be in that mix?
It's a dream come true. It's like I mean, man, my head getting real big talking to you guys right now, so I'm gonna have to we'll have to go wash some dishes after. it's a dream come true. Just talking to you guys and talking to people at conventions and just getting the feedback and the love for it. It's just that, just a dream I always had. And I, you know, it took me a long time to get it done. And I wasn't sure I wasn't sure if I was ever going to do anything with it, if it was ever going to see the light of day and going through the trials and tribulations of life. And then it actually, you know, like just powering through and getting it done and then pitching it and then having it published. It's the best thing. It's an amazing feeling, really. It's great, you know, and then really getting feedback from guys like you and like I said, people at conventions I don't want to get all, like choked up or anything, but it's a great feeling. It's a beautiful thing. Anybody out there who's thinking about, you know, creating something and just do it. You know what I mean? And there's so, like we were talking before, there's so many avenues now to go about making these things with Kickstarter and crowdfunding. It's like, you know, there's no way you can't do it. You know, you can, you know what I mean? I would recommend that to anybody who has that sort of aspiration, just go for it and just put your butt in that seat and just make it happen, you know. So easier said than done sometimes. Life can get in the way, it's a great thing. It's awesome. So
on top of that, you know, Ken's talking about the whole generational thing of how the Silver Ages and, you know, the Golden Age and where we're at now, which I don't know, the modern age where we're at. It's a big, long generational thing, but you also have the familial aspect as well with your brother. What's that like? Do you use him as your sounding board, or have you just like, all right, man, look here, it's like, thanks for the heads up, but I got my own thing going on.
No, me and Wes are super tight. Wes is my younger brother. I'm actually the older brother. I'm always bouncing things off of him, and I'm always trying to get him to work with me because he's super talented. And I'm like, draw this story for me. And he's like, I'm too busy drawing my own stories. And I'm like, come on, draw my story. No, my story's better than your story. He's like, no, it isn't. I'm like, all right, it isn't. But could you maybe one day draw my story? You know, but we've been doing conventions together for the last, you know, 20, over 20 years now, you know? I learned, even though he's my younger brother, he taught me some valuable lessons. He's a really hard worker. And I just saw how hard he worked at his craft. And it really inspired me to really try to become better at both, you know, storytelling and my artwork as well. He got it from me. So all his success is really due to me. And I tell him that all the time. I'm like, you realize you owe me because I was the guy who started with the comic books and drawing and you owe me big time. And then every once in a while I call in a loan if he doesn't give it to me, I do the older brother thing. I give him the noogies.
So do you get your residuals from him? That's
the question. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But in all seriousness, yeah. So I started with the, like, you know, being into comic books, and my mother, she paints and she draws. So I used to get her to draw Superman out of my Superman comic books.
Oh,
and
nice.
That's how it all started, really. She's an artist as well. So then, yeah. And then I would, you know, just copy her and we'd just sit down and draw. And then, you know, I was always into comic books, always loved superheroes. And Wes just, you know, followed suit. You know, he always was in, he got into everything I was into, but he I was into other things as well. I did a little bit of sports. I played hockey and played football and baseball. And my dad's more of a sports guy, you know, so he saw that I had a bit of a talent for that. So he put me in that, but he left Wes to, you know, Wes can sit on the bench and draw, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So that's how it's so good, because he was like, that was his thing. He just was like, you know, going at that. So, but I, you know, I always did it as well. So I always loved it as well. So, yeah, so it's cool. It's cool having a brother that's, we can sit there and talk for hours about comic books and pop culture and stuff, you know, we're into all the same things, you know, so it's good. And we get along really well. So, you know, he's a good guy. So I'm lucky.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. It's cool. It's cool. We're both doing it. You know, it's the dream. It's the dream we had as kids. It's, you know, so yeah. Yeah. I'm getting a little too sappy here though. I don't know.
That's why we do this. We want to get to know the artists and the writers. We want to know who you are. That's why we're not just to plug. We want to know why.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the story. I mean, we just always grew up loving this stuff, you know, so, and to this very day, you know, so yeah, that's it.
No, that's awesome. Well, obviously, yeah. Starstorm is coming out in trade paperback form, Image Comics, April 24th. What's on deck after or outside the world of Grant Garrison?
Outside of the world, what's on deck is that I'm trying to get this story off the ground. Me and Wes have been talking about it for a little while. Like I said, I was trying to get him to draw it, but he's too busy with Kaya. So I'm thinking maybe I might find another artist to do it, or I might do it myself, but I'm just trying to stay focused on Starstorm writing and drawing. That's like enough for me, because I have another job as well. So, it takes up, you know, just drawing Starstorm is going to take up most of my time with doing commissions on the side and other things like that. But I have another story that's sort of like a similar sort of Stranger Things sort of, it's like a little bit like the Witches of Eastwick meets Thrashing,
really,
Roland, the skateboard movie meets like Goonies, punk rock, sort of, 6-issue miniseries sort of thing. Yeah. So I've spoken about it before on some other podcasts, but, that's the idea I have. I've created the characters for it, and I have the basic outline in my head, but, I have to sit down and just get it done, but yeah, we'll see. That's going to take me, that might be a little while before I get that gets done, but.
And can we get a poster of Necro Nancy in the background?
Pardon me?
Get a poster of Necro Nancy in the background with the other book, you know, so it's got your stamp on it.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about, I'm a big Michael Moorcock fan. So the Elric books and the Eternal Champion. So I was thinking about having like a character that runs through all of my stories, like the one you know, character who jumps around in the universe and multiverse, and he's always there. So I was thinking I have that character, but my brother was telling me it might be a bit of a conflict of interest with it being an Image comic. And then if I do this through Kickstarter and it gets published somewhere else, but I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah. So let's do what I want. Don't tell me what to do. You're my younger brother.
Exactly. Sibling authority. Yeah.
It would work long as you probably don't give the character a name until you're.
Yeah.
So just he's
right. There. Yeah. 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 That's yeah.
Yeah. I think you could get away with that.
Yeah. Cause there would be a trademark or a copyright on just the image itself. Like it would be, I don't know. I'm just going into legal stuff that I probably don't know shit and stuff.
Yeah. No, that's what he was saying as well. That's yeah. So it does make sense, but anyway, we'll see what happens, you know, but I do have that character in mind. I would like to do something along the, like that Eternal Champion sort of thing, you know, like I always thought that was a super cool idea. So anyway, I have, like, you know, that's a big influence as well with, you know, Starstorm. There'll be sort of nods to those books and stuff as well. So that's what I have, that idea. I also have little offshoots of characters from the Starstorm universe. So I have, like,
I want to know about Paladin. That's
Paladin.
Ask away.
Well, no, that's what I. If you're gonna make a book, I want one on Paladin.
You want a Paladin book? All right. Well, yeah. I mean, I hadn't thought about a Paladin, but Paladin has a backstory, and I have it in mind. But
he's the only character that had a different color speech bubble, so that drew me right in.
Yeah, yeah, he's got his own story for sure. I mean, they all do. Maybe I'll do an Omega Squadron.
Okay.
Yeah. We're just putting it all out in the universe.
Yeah. Hey, I'm all ears. You know, any ideas you have, I'll steal them.
You can put Ken in a comic. We've been talking about that recently. You know.
Sure, sure. If I get it, I'll figure it out. I can do that.
Yeah, it'll be a podcast interview with Starstorm there. You know, explaining about his disappearance from Earth, and then we dive it in. We can make something happen with that with Nerd Initiative, and we can definitely make that go. But I mean, that's the one great thing about this universe is like you have so many options if you want to really expand on this. I mean, just for keeping as many characters as you have, and we're talking like in the hundreds, because I tried actually counting, but I know my math is way off. But just within the six issues, like there's hundreds of characters in there. So if you really want to do almost like a Starstorm Presents, like, you know, in Marvel Comic Presents, like to do something like that, you know, you could definitely run crazy with doing something, you know, just with that, just like, you know, a little short story with Eli, then with Paladin, and then, you know, Nikki.
One
like,
with Ken. Yeah.
Nikki's story is continuing in the second story arc. There's going to be two stories. They're going to be Starstorm, and then there's going to be Nikki's story so what's happening basically, like Starstorm's going out into space and Nikki and a couple of companions are staying on Earth, and there's a whole storyline there. So we're going to be following two stories. Yeah. So there'll be two or three separate stories going on. So, So those characters are going to continue and the Omega Squadron as well will continue. And then I also have another guy, another character called the Mystic Skull.
Okay.
And he's sort of like a bit of a Captain America Man at a Time character. I'd like to develop him. I did some design work for him, and he looks super cool, and I have a pretty interesting story about him. But maybe in the annual I'll do a little Paladin story. My brother's actually going to maybe do a little story for the annual. So it'll be interesting, something like that. If I come up with a good idea, a good enough idea, maybe I'll do something along those lines, but I'm not making any promises, but we'll see what happens.
No, absolutely.
Like
I said, that's the one thing, you got the options open, especially too with the universe and world you created here with just six issues. Like just to kind of put that in perspective to our audience, it's literally six issues, but there's so many characters, so many avenues, so many themes. So much is going on within these pages. Like literally, if you want to get into a story, they'll literally go a million different directions, but all keep you on the same path. This is your book.
Yes.
So Drew, we always give this before we always end our interviews. Final sales pitch. If anybody is still debating if they want to pick up the trade paperback or get into the world of the Savage Strength of Starstorm, what would you say your final sales pitch to them?
It's the greatest story ever told by a human being. If you want to have fun and you want to just like marvel at a new universe, that sounds bad. But I mean, it's just, if you want to, you know, pick something up that's neat and it's not like, it's just an interesting read. I feel it's an interesting read and it's fun, you know, and you just get to like look at all these characters that I've created and follow these interesting characters. I mean, I love the characters that I created, so it's hard to pitch it. I don't like to sound, you know, I sound like a, you know, self-involved, but it's, you know, I think they're fun characters and I have some interesting designs and some interesting ideas behind these characters. And if you just want to go on a fun ride and it just takes you away for a little bit, then Starstorm's the book for you, you know? So I think that, I think it's a lot of fun, you know, and people, if they pick it up and give it a chance, they'll enjoy it. And it's only just starting. The story just begun. So that's, and that's the pitch.
That definitely works, because much like we were alluding to a little pro wrestling, Cody Rhodes just finished his story. Grant Garrison's is only just beginning. So you want to make sure you get on board, and you want to make sure you get issue number one and just go right through issue six, and also to pick up the trade paperback, because those are always very key to puts the whole story together. So if you really want to get some of your friends into this universe, and I'm highly recommending you do, because this book has got so many different elements. I know I sound like a broken record, but honestly, this is what you look for when you think superheroes. And we get so many different interpretations these days, and they're all great. But if you really want one that combines the vintage feel of the Kirby era with the modern-esque take of Image from the 90s with a little splash of Invincible mixed in between, this is your book, and this is one that you're definitely going to get hooked on. And then when the annual comes out, and then whatever is going to be the future on Kickstarter, if that's the case, you definitely want to make sure you're following Drew, and you don't want to miss out on what is happening in this universe.
What he said.
That's a pitch right there. That's a great pitch.
Thank you. I try to get my Paul Heyman on. So, you know, I have to do my little bit.
Yeah.
I know Tom is.
You can be my pitch man for sure. That's awesome.
We might have to make this work. I might have to do that as like a little side hustle. Just be, you know, for anybody who needs a quick pitch. I'll just do it for a minute. TikToks. We'll talk off air. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, okay, sounds good.
But Drew, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk with us. Definitely when everything is rolling for the return of Starstorm, you definitely got to make your way back on the show. We'll definitely have Rich on so we can talk some pro wrestling, because I know Tom is sitting there just, you know, like, yeah, I can see him getting all tense up here as we're talking about, you know, the Showcase of the Immortals this past weekend in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, I know that. I grew up there.
You missed out. It was pretty cool. It was pretty good. But, you know, if you're not a fan, you're not a fan. So yeah. It goes.
I appreciate it for what it is. It's just something that doesn't draw my attention. That's all.
No, but that's what I say.
Yeah, I'm not as big a fan as I used to be, but it's pretty cool. WrestleMania was fun.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, like we'll definitely have to do a little more deeper dive next time you swing on, but we definitely have to lock you in for that though.
Yeah, sounds good. Anytime, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Tom, why don't you let our listening eyes know what's going on with you?
Well, you can always find me right here every single Tuesday night here on Nerd Initiative's Turnip Page. Everything else, you can always check me out for those comic book reviews on Wednesdays. And in the meantime, you can check me out on the QR code listed on the screen.
And for anything going on with the home of pop culture positivity is nerdinitiative.com. My name is Ken M, and we'll end this like we always do on Turnip Page. When you have a great book in your hands, such as The Savage Strength of Starstorm, trade paperback volume 1, and you see somebody at the store struggling to find something, hand yours off to him. Tell him to turn a page. We'll see you next time.
I'm out.
It's such waste of time, swiping left and swiping right on people you could know. 'Cause anyone who's worth a damn be worth way more than a picture could ever show. You could find the right light, find the right angle, and never find your soul. And it can feel like a losing battle, and this plot is full of holes. This modern way of finding love just makes me feel so alone. And I can't be the only one sick of staring at my phone. So look up, talk to me. A better way to spend our energy. Just look up. Time fable, everyone has just one true love. All I know is you're across this table, and you're all I'm thinking of. So look up, talk to me. A better way to spend our energy. Just look up. Swiping left and swiping right on people you could know. Whoa.